Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
I'm going to share a story that may be familiar to you. It may be a story that you've heard, and you may have heard it a little bit differently. I'm going to share it the way that you heard it from kindergarten or first grade. It's about a man who was preparing for a visit from God. So the story goes, there was a man who prayed to God for Jesus to come and visit him at his home. And so when he had finished praying, he got up and he began to prepare for Jesus. And so he became so busy and he was working hard to make sure that when Jesus came, everything was just so. And then all of a sudden, a knock came at the door. And the man was so excited. He went to the door and opened the door. But there was a man there who was asking for something to eat. And the man who was preparing for Jesus said, "I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm preparing for Jesus." And so he closed the door and continued to prepare. And the night ended and Jesus had not come. And so the next day or two, he continued to prepare for Jesus. And all of a sudden, there was another knock at the door. And this time, there was someone at the door who was asking for something to drink. And the man who was preparing for Jesus told the person who was asking for something to drink, "I'm sorry, I cannot help you because I'm preparing for Jesus to come." And so he closed the door and continued to prepare. And the end of the week was starting to come and the man was becoming discouraged. And so he still continued to prepare. And then again, there was another knock. "Surely this is Jesus." The man went to the door and was really, really excited. And this time there was yet another man that was at the door asking for yet something else, because there was something else that someone else needed. And the man who was preparing for Jesus said, "I'm so sorry, I cannot help you because I am preparing for Jesus." And so he closed the door and he continued to prepare. Now, the end of the week came and there was still no Jesus. And so the man was really upset and really grieved. And so then he went to God in prayer. "Why didn't you come? Why wasn't Jesus? Where were you?" And all of a sudden, there was a very quiet voice that said, "Remember those three people that came to your door? That was me." Wow. And so the man who had been preparing for Jesus missed out on an encounter with Jesus. There's so many lessons in that story. We could dissect that in many, many different ways. We could pull it apart. But my prayer this morning for us is that we do not miss out on an encounter with Jesus from the busyness of our preparation. Let us look for Jesus in unexpected ways. Let us be open to all of the ways that Jesus reveals himself to us this morning. Let us have a play date with Jesus. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this day, this opportunity to have a play date with you. Help us to be present, to find our way to your feet, to have a time of play with you. let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. Sometimes preaching from a familiar passage can be very difficult. It can be difficult because it's just that familiar. Who hasn't heard about the story of Mary and Martha? How do I present it in a new way to you? How can there be anything new that we can learn from this passage? But the thing is that we serve a living God. And so, therefore, God's word is living. And so, there's always new life that comes out of it. There is always new wisdom that sprouts out from it. So even though this is very familiar, I am certain that God's purpose, that new life, new wisdom will come from it this morning. And when we come to a passage, we wonder who we are in the story. How does the passage pertain to us? Are we Mary or are we Martha? Most often, and rightfully so, we identify ourselves as being Martha, not Mary. We kind of say it like it's a badge of honor, even if we say that we need to work on it. We'll say, I'm more of a Martha. And it makes us feel good because our Protestant kind of work ethic says this is something to be proud of. We're supposed to be workers. When we get badges like worker bees, we feel good about that. Anything else is laziness, and laziness is sin, right? And so, of course, we want to be Martha, even if Jesus seems to be telling us something different. I think we could all understand Martha. I know I can. Have you ever had to prepare for a dinner party? Have you prepared Thanksgiving dinner or a birthday party? I'm sure most of us have done any of those things. And they're all big undertakings. Now, imagine if your dinner guest was Jesus and his disciples. Now, running out of food has a whole different meaning to you. Or how does the house smell mean something to you, right? And then you want it to be good because after all, it's for Jesus. So preparing for a dinner party or a play date for Jesus and his disciples was quite the undertaking. Before the pandemic, one of the things that I really loved to do was I love hosting dinner parties. Our house was where Friendsgiving happened. It's where birthday parties happen. It's where I hosted Thanksgiving. Since I've been married, I've always hosted Thanksgiving. And any type of gathering, I love creating Pinterest boards and putting pins to my Pinterest boards, thinking about what the theme we're going to be, because the theme influences everything. It determines what the decor will be. It determines what the food will be. And then, of course, I have to watch Food Network for days and days to make sure that I can come up with just the right menu. Then it's time for me to start shopping and ordering the things that I need for the party. The night before, if I'm honest, not the night before, the day of is when I'm cleaning and making sure that everything smells good because the smell is everything. You want to make sure that it's a combination of cleaning products so people know that your house is clean and so that and it also smells like food that's been prepared in the oven. And then there's this other wonderful scent that comes from candles. And candles are everything. You have to make sure that you have just the right candle. And I spent time testing out candles. And then the rest of the day prior to the guest arriving, I'm pretty much stuck in the kitchen cooking. And far too often, guests arrive and I'm still in the kitchen cooking. I usually barely have enough time to get myself together and put the clothes on that I'd also thought very much about what I was gonna look like for the party. Most of the time, I barely get a chance to even put those things on. And then because I've been in the kitchen all that time sampling the food and making sure that it tastes good, by the time the guests arrive, I'm not even interested in food. I'm no longer hungry. And so I'm a sweaty mess. I'm not hungry and I'm tired. I usually get it together, but not to the best of my abilities. I'm not usually able to really put as much into the party as I've been able to put into the preparation. And that's why it's important to have a co-host. I usually have a co-host, and the co-host is usually my husband, Shelton. Even if that's not what he signed up to be, that's pretty much what he has to be. He becomes my co-host. So when the guests arrive, and while I'm still stuck in the kitchen, it is his job to make sure that the guests are comfortable and that he's present with them. And I can hear them laughing and joking while I'm in the kitchen, and all I can feel like is that I'm missing out. The living space is filled with joy and with play, and all I get to really do is to kind of orbit the party. Like, I see what's happening, I hear what's happening, but I'm not really a part of it. And I usually feel as though Shelton has the better part. He has the lesser of the jobs. He's not doing the hard work. And so I kind of feel like how Martha felt when she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself? Tell her to help me out." That's how I feel often with Shelton. If only you would help me out, maybe I could be done a little bit sooner. And I always feel like he has the better job. And I usually feel a little bit resentful, just like Martha. But the truth is, if I'm honest, being present is not the easier job. It requires listening and flexibility and creativity. And I'm naturally introverted, and most people don't seem to think so. It takes a lot of preparation to pretend to be extroverted. But this definitely being present in the party, you know, it takes a lot of energy. And so in any case, I can definitely identify with Martha. And I think we can agree that both were doing their parts in being hospitable for Jesus and for his disciples. Just like both me and Shelton are doing our parts to make sure that everything is welcoming for our guests. So when Martha asks for help, Jesus says that Mary has chosen the better part of the party, the play date and encounter. Jesus, as always, seems to redefine what best or better is. Jesus reveals that how we define best or better is not really best. It's interesting that it's so simple that yet it's so difficult for us to do. It's like counterintuitive. While Martha was orbiting or floating around Jesus and his disciples and missing out on the fun, Jesus says, "Stop, come, play, be in my presence, have an encounter with me." I'm sure Martha believed that she was still having an encounter with Jesus. She was, after all, in the midst of Jesus. She could hear Jesus. I'm sure she may have even been able to smell Jesus and his disciples. She was there. And in fact, she says, like, "Don't you see my hard work? Don't you see what I'm doing? Why aren't you asking Mary to help me more?" But where do we find Mary? We find Mary at the feet of Jesus, the seat that was for the disciples. It was really the best seat in the house. And Mary decided to be where Jesus was, to have an encounter with Jesus, to have a play date with Jesus. Pastor Mandy discussed last week in her passage that Jesus says, "Let the children come to me, for it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." Children have a place at God's kingdom despite the world believing they have little value. Children reveal something about the kingdom of God, and similarly, so too does Mary. Being at Jesus' feet was the place where a disciple of Jesus could sit. That was not to be believed to be a place where the woman could sit. She, like children, women were given very little value or no value at all. And yet Jesus says that there is a place at his feet for everyone. The best seat is not exclusive, but open to all. Jesus welcomes both children and women and everyone to a place in the kingdom of God. The invitation to the play date is not exclusive like how our guest lists are. Instead, the guest list is open to all. Children and Martha reveal also what Jesus defines as best. Jesus is not knocking Martha's preparation. There is nothing wrong with preparation. In fact, Jesus does not say that what Martha is doing is bad at all. What Martha was doing was good work. Jesus is just saying that there is something better. It's the wisdom that children intuitively have. Never miss out on an opportunity to play with Jesus. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." Can you imagine it being in a gentle and caring manner and invites her to come and play? When I say play, I am being literal and figurative. Never get so caught up in our preparation for ministry, for work, for anything, that when given an opportunity to encounter Jesus, turn it down. When we are invited to a play date with Jesus, let us not reject it or exchange it for something else, not exchanging it for our prep. When we have the opportunity to play with our children, our neighbor, community, those in need, let us not forego that opportunity for the humdrum of preparation. It is through play that we best get to know each other. It is how we best relate to each other. Jesus is calling us to come, be present, and play. We are not invited to simply orbit God, but to play directly with Jesus. Sometimes our relationship with Jesus looks more like how toddlers play with each other, you know, parallel play. We're sort of next to or orbiting around Jesus, but not playing directly. If our preparation is greater than our presence, then maybe we need to shift our priorities. There will always be preparation, but opportunities to play at the feet of Jesus is now, and let's not miss it. The Washington Post published an article in their health and science section in 2017 entitled, "Why It's Good for Grownups to Go Play." And it was about the importance of play. And usually these articles are highlights of studies that show that play is beneficial to children. As we mentioned before, play is like breathing for children, but it's also necessary for their development. It helps to shape their identity and develop their skills to relate to others. It also helps them to also identify with themselves. It helps their creativity, imagination, cognition, brain power. It's imperative. However, the article is talking about how those same benefits that children get, so too do adults. It's also life-giving. Playing regularly helps us to relate to others and others relate to us. It helps us to worry less and to stress less. It helps us to actually be better. Our health is actually benefited when we play. Our identity is even shaped in our play. And somehow, we rarely do it. And so Jesus is reminding us that this play is a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. All are invited to play. And preparation is not needed because the place is already set. We are invited in. So this year is the very first birthday that I've had to plan a birthday in quarantine. And I know that I'm not the first parent to have to plan a birthday party in quarantine. This was difficult because I usually come up just like any other party with all these themes and ideas and figuring out where we could go and the guest list and inviting people. And this year we couldn't go anywhere and we couldn't invite anyone to really come over, no kids at least, not in person. And like I said, usually, so Israel, what you don't know, is a very picky eater. He doesn't even like cakes or ice cream or anything like that. And so I usually come up with these like really elaborate menus and things like that for most of what he doesn't even want to eat. But this year I said, well, what do you want to do? And so what he wanted to do involved us becoming the kids at his party. And so we played video games with him. We played hide and go seek. We played with balloons. We had the food that he wanted. We even went in the backyard and we played with some water sport type things. It was a lot of fun, and we baked cupcakes together and pretended to make our own Food Network show. I can't say that I remember laughing any harder than I did at his birthday. And he said that it was his best birthday yet. The birthday where I spent the least amount of money, did the least amount of preparation, the one where we were just present to play with each other. And again, I actually think that this may have been the best birthday also. I enjoyed this the most. It was the best time that I've had since this whole pandemic started. And that's the same thing that Jesus is teaching us this morning. The best is not in the preparation. The best is in our presence. It's in our relationship with Jesus, being with Jesus and being with each other. We can prep ourselves out of a relationship with Jesus. We can prep ourselves out of an encounter with Jesus and out of an encounter with each other. So I encourage you, don't miss the party. Worship is our time to play with Jesus. It is our time to get to know God more, to be reminded that we are beloved children of God. We are invited to be free from the yokes of worry, the scary news that we see on CNN and Fox News, or the news feed on our Facebook pages. It's a time of freedom. It is a time to be present now and to play in the kingdom of God. It is an image of friendship and intimacy, where all are welcome. We get to play together in the reality of the reign of God that is now and not yet, on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes, even in our worship as adults, we struggle to imagine worship creatively, as there being freedom and movement of the Spirit, a place for a play date. We struggle at times to raise our arms in thanksgiving as the gravities and the worries of our world kind of keep our hands to our side. It's hard for us to shout in excitement as something touches our spirit, or to sing loudly and boldly. I'm reminded this morning how my children, every time they go into a sanctuary space, they go in with wonderment and joy. For some reason, both of them at the same age, when they were each other's age, they both would go in and say, wow. They immediately wanted to run around and to be one with the space. Their imaginations looked like they were soaring in expectations. This is worship. Somewhere as children, this basic understanding of worship is stripped from us. We may have been told, shh, be quiet, sit up straight, be still, don't run in church, don't have too much fun in church. We become less of a place of awe and wonder. And it's no wonder that we struggle to imagine worship as a play date with God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, beloved children of God, it is. And you're invited to play. One of the things I have enjoyed through this virtual worship is, as you are worshiping this morning in your living room, in your bedroom, maybe in your car or in your backyard, wherever you are, I too am worshiping with you. The preparation is done and it is time for presence. And presence is a spiritual discipline. Play is presence in action. It is difficult for us to play, and it made me to ponder why. And if play is difficult for us, what has that done to our spirit, our connection with God, our connection with each other? What is it that holds us back? Is it fear? Are we afraid that if we come to the playground, that we will be rejected, that we will be judged, that we will be loved less? that if we don't play right, that no one will want to play with us. But let me encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters in faith, there is no mistake that is greater than grace. There is nothing that can pluck us from the hands of God. There is nothing that will stop God from loving us. And so we can come to the playground of God knowing that we are loved and we are accepted. So if the invitation is today, let us not wait to play. Let us not wait and say that we can play tomorrow, that we can play next week, that we're too busy today. Let us get rid of our distractions and just play. Be in God's presence. Be in each other's presence. When the opportunity presents itself to play with your children or grandchildren, to safely play with neighbors, to maybe have a virtual game night, to read a book, to ride a bike, to run in the sprinklers, to do whatever those things that bring us closer to God and to each other, let us take it. God has invited us today. God says that it is a time to play. Thanks be to God.